Body, Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. We have a wonderful new show for you guys today, Uplift with Jamie Pfeiffer, and she is here to bring you lots of joy in your life. She is eager to share the tools, techniques, and daily practices she uses to cultivate joy in her life, and she will help you raise your consciousness, release limiting beliefs, and learn how to live joyfully. So without further ado, I would like to welcome your host, Jamie.
Hi, Courtney. Thank you so much for such a beautiful introduction. Hi, everybody. My name is Jamie Pfeiffer. And like Courtney said, I am a joyful living expert, and this is my first show. I'm very, very excited to be here, and having a radio show was actually a goal of mine for this year. So when I had the opportunity to create my own show with Body, Mind, Spirit, I was thrilled. And the name of the show is Uplift. And the show is based on my book, which is coming out spring of 2015 by the same name, Uplift, More Joy Every Day. And when I was thinking about how to start my first show or what I was going to have my first show on, it dawned on me that the show is called Uplift and it's based on my book. So it would just be such a fabulous idea to write, to have the first show on getting the book out of your head and onto the page. I think there are so many people out there that have ideas for books in their head. And for whatever reason, they don't ever get those ideas out on paper. Maybe it's something, you know, teachings that they enjoy. Or it could be anything, a nonfiction book, comics, a children's book, anything. And I think often that that is the person's passion, and maybe they just get bogged down with the day-to-day things of life, work, family, and they don't realize that writing a book, there are a lot of myths about it. And that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about today are just a lot of the myths that surround writing a book. I know that I really bought into a lot of these for a long time, and it kept the book in my head and not on the page. So today I'm hoping to share some of that. I have a wonderful guest with us today, Jennifer Grace, who is super successful, a coach, and she's written a book, and she won a contest with Hay House, and she's a published author. And she also won another contest, and she has a number one rated show on Hay House Radio. So I'm thrilled to have her. She's fantastic, and she's my coach. So a little bit later on, she's going to talk about her writing process and her book. And also, another part of having a book is once you get it out of your head, you also need to create this powerful book proposal, so that you can actually take the book to a publishing house and get it published and get it out into the world. So that is just a little bit of what we have in store for you today. So the first thing I want to start with are some of these myths. And I think for me, one of the biggest myths was that I had to have so much time, that this was going to be such an arduous process, writing a book. You know, when I had thought about it and I had thought about authors and even in the movies, the movie Misery came to mind. That's not a great movie, but the subject, but I just thought about him writing and writing and writing. And also, As Good as a Guest, I think she writes a book in there. And it shows these people just hours and hours and hours writing. And that's what I had in my head, that I would need to either take a sabbatical, be retired, or something like that to write the book. And while I do think that some people do write in that way, for me, that was not the case. And Jennifer will talk about this a little bit more when she comes on. But for me, she gave me a really great tip, which is do an hour a day. And I kind of thought, wow, that's crazy. But I did it, and I did it as part of a course that I was taking at the time called the Creative Insight Journey, which is an incredible course. It's based on a Stanford master's degree class called based on a book called Creativity in Business. And such a fantastic course. I absolutely loved it. Jennifer was my teacher, and I loved it so much that I ended up becoming a trainer. So I am now a teacher of it as well. And in one of the weeks, we have to do something big in our life that we've been putting off for a while. And I chose to start writing my book. And it was so funny because when the assignment was given, writing the book came right up into my head. I heard my inner voice say it. And I tried to squash it. I tried to squash it down because I didn't want to take on that huge undertaking. And I tried to think of a couple other things, and I did think of a couple other things. But when it came time to say to Jennifer, who is the teacher, what my big thing is, I wasn't able to say anything else other than writing a book because I found that it wouldn't be in integrity with where I was at that time. So I did it, and Jennifer helped me, and she gave me the tip of just trying to write for an hour a day. And I had all of these ideas in my head, and it was really funny because I did not have a clear structure in my head for my book. I just had all these different ideas and things that had happened to me as a result of I worked a 12-step program, and I had this pretty big spiritual awakening over like a 2 or 3 day period. And I started to really get connected with the universe and just really see God or the universe, whatever you would like to call it, source energy, all around me. And I started to open up, and I started to get messages, and I started to have my psychic and intuitive nature really started to open up, and I started to have these gifts sharpened and heightened, and I started to have plants and animals resonate a lot more than ever before. So there was that, and then there was the whole story of the spiritual awakening that I had. And then there was all of this synchronicity that was happening in my life. And I wasn't really sure how it was all going to go together, but I just had this idea. I also was meditating, and I had this idea that this was all related. I didn't know how, but it was going to form into a book. So what Jennifer told me to do is to just delegate an hour a day and to just do like this dump. Just go there and just do these little headings of, she called it a set theme. And she said, you know, just write a heading and then just write whatever it is for that day and just write an hour. And some of the set themes you might write for 30 minutes and some of them might take longer than an hour. So it might be 3 or 4 days of the process. But just go there and write for an hour. So I started to do that, and, you know, the first day, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I thought, well, I might just go there, and you know what, if I need to, I can just write blah, blah, blah all over the page. But when I got there, just the process of sitting down and putting a conscious intention into it, it started, I did it. I did it the first day, and it was amazing. And then I went back the second day, and I did it the second day, and I just went on and on and on and on and on. And I think within 6 weeks, I was pretty close to, I think it was 18,000 words, and it was amazing. And I wasn't really sure where the structure was going to be, but just went with the whole process. And just doing that, it was just really an amazing way. So I would say a great tip is just go there and do this dumping. You don't necessarily have to have a structure in place to write a book. I had no idea. And I've been a writer my whole life, and I did always write, I will say, before my spiritual awakening, I always wrote with a structure in mind. I actually started with that. And doing it in this dumping, for lack of a better word, mentality is actually the best way that I've ever written. I've found more freedom, and I've just allowed it to really flow through me. And I'm actually writing a couple other books right now, and I'm doing it in the same way, and it's incredible. It's absolutely amazing. So along with that dumping, another tool that I would suggest is just trust. trusting that it is going to come and that these creative inspirations or whatever the next right step is, the next step in the process of writing, that it is going to come to you. And for me, this occurred when I was at like 18,000 words and I was done with the dump. I knew at that point that I needed to fill in examples to support the different aspects of the book, and I also knew that I needed to have structure somehow. And it was really amazing because there were a couple days where I was doubtful, and I think that that's really normal for everybody. And it was kind of just like, well, I just have to let it go. And when I finally let it go and surrendered it and just released it and really went to the place of connecting with the universe, because that is where I get my inspiration, and often that is where I believe that it's creativity flowing through me. That is when those ideas come in, and I just put myself in this field of synchronicity, and people started to show up in my experience in the most amazing ways, and I would always go to a local coffee shop to write. And I went there, and I literally started bumping into people that were perfect examples of the exact section of my book that I happened to be writing that day. And, you know, once I went through and did these examples, and I'm not talking like once or twice this happened. This happened with like 14 or 15 different people, which is just amazing. Like, I would always happen to meet the right person at exactly the right time for the book for what I needed. And it also happened after I finished the examples, it started to happen with the structure. And it's happened with other aspects of my life that are related to the book as well. So it's just really an amazing thing. Other tools to connect with this divine energy to get into that field of synchronicity, because I will talk about this on later shows and I'll get more into energetic vibrations and the vibrational scale. David Hawkins, in his book Power versus Force, has some really amazing stuff that I also have in my book Uplift, just about different numbers that are assigned to different things in the universe, from emotions to objects to feelings. And when you get higher up, you access fields like love and gratitude and appreciation and peace. And those fields correspond with this synchronicity. So it's almost like if you then get deliberate with your intentions and you start deliberately intending to have the right example show up into your life, or to have exactly what you need show up into your life, that stuff can really start happening for you as long as you don't have other blocks in place. So we'll talk about that in future shows, and I'm very excited about that. So what ways do I use to get connected with Source or to get myself into this field of synchronicity? First, dates with nature. That is something that I got from Julia Cameron's fabulous book, and the artist date, she calls it. And for me, it's a great artist date. It doesn't necessarily have to be nature, according to Julia, but for me, it's getting out in nature, because nature for me is pure source energy. There's no negativity there. And it can actually soak up negativity that I have inside of me, if that's the case. And often that negativity or ego can be blocking me. That can be blocking me from writing. So, and accessing that creative force. So if I'm finding that I'm having a hard time and I have writer's block, getting out in nature is just such an incredible way. And, you know, it's just a testament to the importance of, if you are facing writer's block and you are in that pit of frustration, which is something that we talk about in the Creative Insight Journey, and that's part of the hero's journey, and that's something else that I'll talk about in future shows. If you are in that pit of frustration and you're up against that brick wall and you're like, why isn't it coming? I want it to come. You're actually pushing it farther away, and the best thing that you can do at that point is walk away from it and just release it. And whether it's going and doing something physical like exercise, or doing something in nature, or doing something fun. fun really gets us out of our ego. It loosens that tight control grip, and it allows us to get lighter with ourselves and to take things lighter. And I think that when we're lighter and we're less controlling, we're stepping out of ego and we're making a space for this beautiful source energy, for us to connect with the source energy. So nature, I went 2 days ago and accidentally I was in nature and I was sitting outside talking with someone by a pond for 2 hours and I wasn't thinking about it at the time. But the next morning, I know that there is no accident that I ended up getting this just massive download of creativity that came right into my head. And I, as soon as it was happening, I just thought to myself, wow, this is amazing. And immediately knew this is a result of me being in nature for the time that I was yesterday. So nature is a great thing. And having fun, whatever that means for you, maybe it's playing miniature golf. Whatever it is that allows you to lighten up, swimming, I know, is a great thing. Being near water, doing anything like that, being playful and messy, because for me, being playful and messy is what source energy is. It's not rigid and controlled and strict and, you know, super clean and perfect. And the third thing that I wanted to talk about was meditation. That is another way that I connect with this source energy, and it's a great way to get into a mindset of creativity and to have these ideas just flowing through you. Meditation is something that I've done for about 2 years, and I start every morning with meditation, and I also do one in the afternoon, and then I do a guided one as I'm drifting off to sleep. And when you drop into that space and you connect with source and you stop those negative thoughts or just the thoughts that are constantly coming, it's so beautiful. It's just, Jennifer actually talks about it, she talks about it in terms of taking your mind to the brain gym. And it is, there's so many benefits to meditation, whether it's physical health-wise, lowering blood pressure. But for me, one of the biggest benefits is it puts me into direct contact with the source energy, and which is ultimately creativity for me. So those are some of the big tools that I use to connect with source and to get myself into a writing and flowing mindset. And since I've been practicing these tools, the information is coming to me so fast and furious. I, pretty early on in the process, had to get a recorder, because the thoughts were just coming to me, and it was no longer coming to me just in the time frame of the 1 hour a day that I chose. I would get these just divine inspirations, you know, those light bulb moments where you're like, aha, this is it, you know, where you might just be in the shower or you're driving or whatever you're doing. You know, sometimes I'm folding laundry and I'll just have these amazing ideas, and it's exactly the right thing for the book that I'm doing, or just as creative inspiration. That's what's happened with me. So I had to get a transcriber, and she's busy with the work that I give her. So those are some of the ways that I have that I get the book out of my head and onto the page. And next up, I want to bring Jennifer in to talk about some of the ways that she does that. And first, I want to introduce her. Jennifer Grace is the owner and founder of the Center of Grace, as well as the resident dream coach at the Standard Hotel and Spa in Miami. She is an acclaimed author whose book, Directing Your Destiny, was published by Hay House in June of 2013, along with her radio show, which is amazing, by the way, and is rated number one on Hay House Radio. She is also a contributor for the Huffington Post. Jennifer spent 8 years on Wall Street in investment banking and then crossed over into the creative world and became a SAG actress, filmmaker, and screenwriter. In the last few years, she has taken her business knowledge and creative expertise and blended them into becoming an executive business and media coach. Her title of executive dream producer gives her the opportunity to help others discover their personal dreams and launch them into reality. She is trained and certified in creativity and business, the famed Stanford University Personal Transformation Master's Degree course, which she teaches locally in South Florida. A strong advocate of community giving, Jennifer donates part of all proceeds to different causes every year. She is currently leading workshops and courses in South Florida, online, speaking globally, and leading retreats worldwide. And I would like to welcome Jennifer Grace to the show. Are
Hi,
you there, Jennifer?
Jamie. I am.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for having me on your first show. It's so exciting.
I'm so grateful to have you here. Jennifer has been such a mentor, an amazing coach, an amazing woman. And
Thank you. I am thrilled.
What an honor to have you on my very first show.
Well, it's my honor. So thank you for having me. And, of course, this is one of my favorite topics, talking about writing and getting that book out of your head. So I'm the perfect person for it.
Wonderful, wonderful. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the tools that you use for getting the book out of your head and onto the page?
Yes. Well, it's really interesting. You know, Jamie, I always talk about will and grace, you know, that will, that tenacity, that perseverance, the drive, the art of getting your butt off the couch, right? And then the grace, allowing for the serendipitous moments to be in the right place at the right time where it all comes together. And so they really have been right there by my side, you know, through my process of writing my book and writing my book proposal and getting it published by Hay House. And I really pulled in a lot of the will, and a lot of the grace is what you're talking about, the nature and the meditation, the having fun, the just allowing Source to co-author this incredible book that you're writing or that you have written, Uplift. And for me, I think it was a lot of will. And I had this book upstairs in my head for a few years. I had been using different workshops to kind of work through the tools to see if the process that I was creating was going to work. So I workshopped it in a live format. Essentially, my book, as you know, is a four-week program on how to work with the energetic frequency that surrounds us all with quantum physics in order to really harness the magic and power of the law of attraction. And so, you know, like many of us, we all saw that movie, The Secret, right? And we were so in awe, and we made our vision boards, and we hung them up, and I don't know what happened to you, but I think I looked at it, and it was like crickets back then. Like, nothing was happening. And I was so green, like I just didn't understand how to work with this energy field. And so with my own just search for knowledge, you know, diving into quantum physics and working through different exercises with students in live format, I started to cultivate this nine-step practice on how to really work with this energy field. And, you know, if your listeners don't know, basically, whatever you think, believe, and feel is being channeled through your consciousness, creating your reality, the movie of your life. And I knew there were tools out there for the thinking. Those were like the I am intentions. There were certainly tools out there for believing, affirmations, working with, you know, your gremlin, the inner critic. But there weren't any practical tools for the feeling. And as I started studying quantum mechanics and understanding that this energy field that surrounds us all speaks a very specific language, and that language is emotion. So my former life, before I became a coach, I was an actress for over 20 years. And when you are trained and developed as an actor, you are trained to authentically feel the emotional truth that your character is portraying. And so one day as I started, you know, working with these live groups, I realized, wow, you know, this is the missing link here. And I need to figure out some practical tools so that when my students, you know, are not only looking at a vision board, but they are also believing it and they're thinking it, how do we get that feeling? You know, how do they feel if they want to manifest love and they're lonely? How do they manifest abundance if they're growing broke? How do they manifest vitality and energy if they're ill? And this whole actor's toolbox that came to me, I thought, well, this is a practical tool. So as I worked through all that and just kind of came to my aha moment, you know, the book was swirling and swirling and swirling. And I always had the excuse that I never had enough time. I don't have enough time to write a book. I have a son, right? I have 20 clients and 6 classes. And just like you, I think when I heard you talk about that movie Misery, and her like him sitting there for hours and hours and hours writing, and I think there's a lot of Hollywood films that show the writers 8 hours a day, right? And that was definitely in my head. And I don't know, well, I do know, it was in Sedona, Arizona, which is such a magical place that it really just came to me, what if I wrote for an hour a day, right? Just 1 hour a day. Just chunk it down, Jen. Like, don't worry about the 8 hours. And maybe it's going to take you a lot longer than anybody else, but I had gotten used to that. You know, you have children, right? I have children. We're on a different track, you know? Our kids come first, and a lot of time is spent caring for our children. And so I thought, okay, so maybe it'll take me 5 years to write my book instead of one. I really thought that. So I sat down the first day, and I write 500 words in an hour, and I start doing the math, and I figure out, oh, my God, I could write a 50,000-word book in 4 months. So that just debunked that whole myth for me. I mean, I was, like, literally in shock. And as you know, I said to you, just start dumping an hour a day. And it's just amazing how much we can get done in an hour. So we all have these barriers, right? We have these barrier identity barriers, whether it's, oh, I'm too old, or, you know, I didn't go to college, so I can't write. Or my, you know, I can't quit my day job and I can't write, or I don't have the time to write. So really that's our itty bitty shitty committee, you know, poo-pooing on our dreams. And just to notice that, just notice what the stories are. My favorite one is, it's been done before. I hear that all the time. I have a great idea for a book, right? But it's been done before. And I always say to people, you know what? It hasn't been done if it hasn't been done through you. I mean, that's what makes something original, is our own unique expression. If you look in my book, there's 9 practices. Only one of them, which is the actor's toolbox, you know, using it for manifestation, is something fresh that I came up with. The rest of the practices are meditation and mindfulness and journaling. And last time I checked, that's been around for like thousands of years. So I really want to empower your listeners to not let that be a barrier, that it's been done before, and don't let time be a barrier, or what will people think, or, you know, that's just an excuse, really. It's what's underneath is probably our fear of failure or our fear of success.
That's so, that those excuses are just ego trying to keep us small. That's beautiful.
I think Wayne
Dyer
has an awesome book called Excuses Be Gone.
It's one of my favorites.
To sum it up, you know, I just looked at excuse in the face of time, and for 4 months I wrote every day from 5:30 to 6:30 a.m., and when I was done, I had a 50,000-word manuscript, and some incredible synchronistic occurrences, you know, transpired in my life that led me to Hay House, you know, losing the contest, then winning it, and then getting my own radio show, and, you know, the rest is history. But when the universe gives you those opportunities, right, those serendipitous moments, those moments of grace, if you didn't do the work, put in the will, then you're not going to be able to receive the opportunity. So it's wonderful that we have these books in our heads, but it takes that will and that perseverance and the overcoming of the barriers of the stories of the critic in our head to really just get out of our own way and do it. Stop thinking about it and just do it. So that's how I wrote my book. And now I have another one, unfortunately. So I guess I'm going to have to wake up at 5:30 a.m. again. Shoot.
Yeah.
Really liking sleeping until 7.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it's you know, I think that's where a coach comes in really well too, or some type of an accountability something. Because
absolutely.
I don't know if I was in the Creative Insight Journey class if I would have started it on my own. And I'm a very,
right.
I am really dedicated, and like I don't typically need people to keep me on task. I have this internal motivator.
Yeah.
But I think with the fear, having a coach, and especially like our relationship, what you said earlier about, you know, it's okay or it's normal almost to recreate something that's already been done, but it's being done through you. And that's what makes it original.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing you, you told me that and you empowered me to write the book. I mean, you really did. I don't know if I would have done it. I would have just thought, oh, this has already been done. But then I was like, wait a minute, Jennifer Grace is saying, you know, this is what she's saying. She's got the published book, so, you know, it's so helpful.
Well, certainly
really
the
helpful.
Power of accountability is one of the most powerful things in the world. You know, whether you have a coach that's holding you accountable, or whether you speak it to, you know, the people that do love and support you and make that declaration, you know, that I am a published author, that I am going to write a book. And, you know, when you keep your dream inside your head, nobody's looking if you do it or not. So I always empower people to speak their dreams, and again, to people that will love and support their dreams, or to get a coach and to really have somebody championing for you to get that book out of your head. Because again, if nobody's looking, you know, you're going to slack, you're not going to do it, nobody will know. So I'm all for accountability and speaking up.
Great. That's wonderful. So is there anything else that you want to share in terms of tools that you use other than the one giving yourself an hour a day? What about, I was going to say too, I know that we've talked about this, my process, it's so interesting, our relationship, because we're like this beautiful dichotomy. You know, you were saying
yes.
You really use the will and I use the grace. And so I was just thinking in terms of, you know, I started with this dumping, but I don't think you started that way. You started with more of a structure. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So I had the, you know, this four-week course that I was teaching in live format. And so what I did first was I just wrote the structure of the book. You know, 4 weeks, 9 practices, here's the tool, here's the soul work, you know, just almost like a course. And I got to about 20,000 words, and I went, oh, shoot, what am I going to do now? I need another 30,000 words. And I looked over my book and I realized there was just, it was the bare bones. There was no Jennifer Grace in there. It wasn't any of my own personal stories. There weren't stories about my students. There was no reflection in there. It was all just, it was like a handbook, like a manual, a course. And so I threw that course down, that structure down, and then I went back and I wove in the personal stories. And, you know, that's for the self-help genre. If you are writing, which is the same genre you're in, which you kind of did the opposite, I remember you were just dumping stories and amazing coincidences, and then the tools started arriving, you know, to kind of go along with the rest of it. But for those of you out there that are writing a fiction book or a memoir, what I would suggest is not worrying about the structure, because what happens is people have a really great beginning and a really great ending, and the middle falls apart. This is a very common thing with fiction, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the world of nonfiction, that's self-help, but the world of fiction where it's a made-up story, or it's a, you know, even memoirs kind of like can be creative fiction. What I suggest is to do something called write 25 set pieces. And so think of a movie that a scene is so awesome that they would create a set around it. Like when Harry met Sally and she has that, you know, moment in the diner. I don't know if you saw the movie where she literally has like an orgasm, right? So that's a great set piece. That's a great story. And when people are writing about characters or themselves, they have all these scenes in their head, these stories, and they think they know what should be the middle, beginning, end. But many times, if you just don't worry about the structure first and you just dump those stories. So I tell people for fiction or memoir, 25 one-line sentences, right? The diner scene, the scene where he picks her up from the airport, the scene of, you know, you just kind of label them.
Right.
And then you create your author hours, right? So whether that's from 10 to 11 after the kids are off to school, or it's in the early morning or the late evening, you have to find where you are most creative. I am definitely most creative in the morning, but it's not the same for everybody.
Right.
So you look at those set pieces and you say, oh, I want to write that airport scene. That was such a great scene. And you just pluck it off the list and you write the airport scene. The next morning, you go back and you look at your 25 set pieces. Ooh, I want to write the scene about the hiking the mountain. Great. You take that and you write it. So now you have 25 scenes. And what happens is that the story begins to weave itself. And you begin to see a thread. So that's a really powerful way for fiction writers to just start getting their stories out on paper. It stops us when we're trying to figure out the beginning, middle, and end. It just screws us all up. So that's what I would suggest for fiction and memoir, to just do these set pieces.
Beautiful. It really does. The more we try to control, and I think that's probably why it stops, the more we try to control it, the more we're actually pushing it away. So, you know, and then we're like in the pit of frustration again.
And my friend Christine also was speaking about, she's a student and also a colleague of mine, that she does binge writing, you know, so she doesn't have author hours. And she just has like a swell come up and she'll write all weekend long, 8 hours.
Wow.
And just pour it out. And then she's dry for 2 weeks. So, you know, that's another way.
Yeah.
You know, so it just depends on your process.
Right. So there's infinite ways. And you know, I guess the important point is that it can be done. There are infinite ways and, you know, there is no right or wrong way.
It's no, just, there's not.
Whatever works for you is the way that you want to do it. But it's
exactly.
Like, just do it. Just do it.
But a right or right.
Leaving it in your head. Correct.
Yeah. A right or right.
Beautiful.
So you have to... In the journaling, too, you know, I think that if you – say you're binge writing, right, and you're only taking, you know, spurts of time to really get that book out, but the rest of the time you're still writing. You're still journaling every day, doing morning pages. You know, I always say a writer writes. You have to write every day, whether it's – you know, I do those daily graces, daily words of inspiration. And that's so enlivening for me. Even my Facebook post is like a writing exercise for me.
Right.
So you just got to stay in that creative flow.
Absolutely. And I really think that when we put ourselves out there, you know, you don't always have to give, like, you don't have to do it alone. Because once you show you're putting some effort in, I believe that the universe will help you and really push you through if that's what's meant to be. So
exactly.
It's like you put in a little effort and then the universe just, you know, you get this momentum going and it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's such a powerful, for me, it was very healing. And that's because I was writing, you know, about things that happened in my life, but also such a big self-esteem builder to just start writing. And it's like once, you know, by chunking it down, you're making it doable. And it's just like you build and build and build. And it's really, you're not just writing a book and like, oh, I'm writing a book. This is great. It really touches every aspect of your life, I think.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It's like, it's just, oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's kind of like if you go on like a weight loss program or you start a fitness program or anything that you're doing positive for yourself, you feel good about it.
Yeah.
You accomplish it, you know, you feel good about it, and it's just, it shines through, and then that builds on the creativity, and then you've got more creativity, and it's just like this beautiful explosion of creativity.
And I also, I always tell people, just write a shitty first draft, you know, don't, don't try to write a masterpiece, because if you're just starting out, just write a shitty first draft. And I also want your listeners to know that every phenomenal book has a phenomenal editor behind it.
Yeah.
You know, there's the author, but there's the editor too. And the editor takes it and makes the author dig deeper and go further with things, and where things are confusing to make them clear,
yeah,
and polishes it and spell checks it and grammar, you know.
Absolutely.
So many people think, oh, well, I'm not a writer. Just get your story out and hire a great editor to, you know, polish it for you or to help you make it better. And you can use as much as an editor as you want. You know, you could have somebody all the way on the other end ghostwriting for you.
Yeah.
Or you just, you know, they interview you, you tell them their story, and they write the book for you down to the middle, where an editor would just, you know, bring the best out in the book and do a little polish, or somebody who just checks the spelling and grammar. You know, so
absolutely,
you can have so many different levels of an editor working with you to refine your novel, your book.
That was actually going to be my next question. What's going to be, what do you think about, you know, things just dumping and going back and spelling and things like that? And I know for me, the way that I used to write, I couldn't write a sentence. I couldn't move on from the sentence unless it was perfect.
Oh,
and
no.
Part of what I started doing with Uplift, and I really had gotten away from writing because I didn't like it anymore. It wasn't fun. I walked away from writing for like 6 years.
Right,
and
because of the perfectionism.
The perfectionism. It was just, and now I know, really, perfectionism is just fear. And
absolutely,
I did. I walked away from it. It wasn't fun anymore. But what you said about the editing and hiring an editor, I attended a Hay House Writing for Your Soul conference, a weekend conference with Wayne Dyer. And he shared, he was just like, I'm a writer. I don't have good grammar. I don't have good spelling. Like, this is the way. And I was just like, wow, to hear, you know.
Oh,
Wayne Dyer,
Joanne, like, writes his books for him. It's amazing.
Yep.
I mean, he just dumps it out, and she, you know, she does a lot with it. It's amazing.
Yeah. And Nancy Levin is another one who wrote a book, and she's a ghostwriter for the whole thing. So anybody can write a book, and you don't have to have a master's in English or, you know, anything for that matter.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So the other thing, what did I want to say on the editing, the write? Oh, so this is what I do in my process is I'll write maybe a chapter. Okay, I'll get it out. And then I go back. And then I'll just do like a quick Word doc spell check, so that when I'm editing my own work, before I give it to the editor, it's like I go back and I massage it. So I just, I throw the bones down, I get the chapter out of my body, and then I go back and I do a Word perfect spell check so that I'm not like looking, I mean, because I have dysgraphia, which is like a form of dyslexia, so I couldn't even probably read it. And then I just massage it, you know, and I just kind of add some beautiful languaging, and, you know, I play with words, and I just kind of bring it alive. And that's what I did chapter by chapter. So when my editor did get it, of course it was, you know, spell checked by the computer, which doesn't always mean that they're going to catch everything. And it was almost like my best effort. You know, I went back a few times over it, but the bones out. Just get it out. Don't worry about spelling. Don't worry about anything. Shitty first draft. Just get it out of your head. Just excuses be gone.
That's an awesome book if anybody is interested.
Yeah.
That is a great one.
Yeah.
Okay, so once we get the book out, I know that the book proposal process can be very big and very scary. And can you share with us, with the listeners, some more information on that?
Absolutely. So the book proposal is basically a business plan for your book. And if you're in the world of nonfiction, a self-help book, for example, like yours and mine, the publishing company is not interested in reading the book. They're interested in reading the business plan for the book proposal. And unfortunately, I didn't know this when I wrote my book. Now I know it. And I wrote the entire whole big book, and then I wrote the book proposal. But if you have a concept and a really strong outline of a book idea, then my suggestion is to just write the book proposal. And if you're, then if a publisher accepts it, then they give you an advance, and then you go and write the book. So unless you're also saying to yourself, hey, if a publisher doesn't want to take my book, I'm still going to self-publish it, then write the entire book. But if you're only interested in working with a publisher, you might as well just write a really strong outline and a couple sample chapters and do the book proposal and see if it's even a worthy idea, something that they're interested in representing. So the book proposal, unfortunately, is about 50,000 times more difficult to write than the actual book, you know, because you're looking at competition, target market, you know, the book specifics. You've got to get into all these little ins and outs of, you know, they want to know, the publisher wants to know that you've done your research, that you know that this topic sells, but that you're also bringing something fresh and unique that no one has done before. So that's what they're really looking for. And when I finished my book proposal and it got accepted by Hay House, you know, and I became a published author, I thought, oh, gosh, you know, this was such a daunting experience for me to do alone. I really want to reach out to my community and help others with this very arduous process of writing a book proposal. So I had created, as you know, the Accountability Book Proposal Coaching Group, which was so successful. And for 2 months, I had 20 students, all because there's 8 sections of a book proposal. So each week, they were responsible of submitting week by week a section of their book proposal. And at the end of 2 months, all 20 of them had a completed book proposal. And it was so painless because, you know, I was able to go through section by section, teaching them how to chunk it down. It wasn't overwhelming. They had each other, you know, for peer partners. And of course, now, Jamie, I have invited Jamie in on this with me. So we are launching the next Accountability Book Proposal Group starting in August. And Jamie is coming on in the form of editor and also, you know, some really delicious writing tools and her whole perspective of getting the book proposal out of your head and into the world. So we're going to be coaching this incredible course. And the two things that I wanted to offer your listeners, number one, I wanted to offer them free my book proposal, the one that won the Hay House competition and got me a book deal with them. So if anybody is interested in receiving that, you can email me at jg@jennifergrace.com. And if you're interested in joining Jamie and I for an 8-week journey starting in August, what we're going to do is we're just going to have you email at jg@jennifergrace.com. Just ask us that you would like to have an interview. And the reason why we're doing the interviews is to make sure you are far along in your concept and outline of the book, that you're ready to actually write a book proposal, because you have to be at a certain stage. You've got to have a real understanding of what your book's going to be about. You don't have to have written it yet, but you have to know what it's about, and it's good for fiction or nonfiction. And we will inspire and motivate you through the 8 weeks to really finalize that book proposal. And so many of my students that hadn't written the book but had done the book proposal, it gave them the basis to write the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, it gave them the clarity, the structure, you know, all the content, the synopsis of each chapter. You know, there's so much that you have to churn out for the book proposal that it just writes your book for you, basically, you know. So, again, if anybody is interested in joining Jamie and I for this incredible opportunity to just have a support system, you know, each week we will continue to hold you accountable to churning out that week's, you know, whether it's the overview, the book specifics, the target market, marketing promotion, you know, all these different sections, the author bio, will be right there with you step by step so that it doesn't have to be this daunting, horrible experience that I had to go through all by myself. So And again,
absolutely.
Anybody that wants, yeah, a copy of my book proposal, I'm happy to share it with them as well as a gift to your listeners today.
What an amazing gift. That's just incredible. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Very, very excited.
Yes.
Do you want to go through a little bit of the book proposal?
Sure. I can kind of break it down for people of, you know, the different sections and what really how you go through each one. So the first one is the overview. And the overview is, it's got to grab. Just like you open up a book, if that first three lines doesn't, like, just halt you and go, oh, my God, I want to read more, you put down the book. So it's the same thing with the book proposal. You know, you really need to grab them. You know, you need to have them at hello. So it's very important for that first few pages to be so engaging and really draw the reader in. The reader will be either an agent who is looking to represent your book, or it will be the actual publisher who will publish your book. So that's your audience for the book proposal, an agent, a literary agent, or a publishing house. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you know, your first impression is your best impression.
Mm-hmm.
So this overview is like a 3 to 5 page summary of your book, right? And it includes the introduction, the book hook, the summary of your book in a nutshell, your credentials and platform, your audience, and your competition. And all of these are also later on kind of breathed out in the rest of the book proposal, but you put in the first 3 to 5 pages this overview of the entire proposal.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing I think about overview is that first, you know, line, that first sentence. It kind of has to read like a lead in a newspaper story, you know, like saying something interesting that leads into your book subject, or it could be like a statistic, you know, say it's about weight loss and the statistic is, you know, over 300,000 people in America are obese and we have this book that's going to change that, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the hook is like one sentence that grabs the reader. Start with an important statistic or how there isn't anything exactly like this on the market, yet there is a market for it. So when I did this and I reached out to, you know, my listeners and I said, what's the thing that changes? What's the thing that, you know, is different from my book? And the difference was that there were no practical tools out there to help the feeling, right? When you're manifesting, you've got to feel it. So I keyed in on that was my original contribution to the topic of manifestation. So I really had that in the beginning, in the hook in my book, right?
Yep.
So that's kind of – and then you want to describe the book in the overview. You know, after you go through that introduction and hook, you begin to describe your book in a few paragraphs. You know, you can break it up into sections so the reader can get a real grasp on its structure. And then this section kind of ends with an indication of, you know, maybe how long the book's going to be, the word count, and when it would be completed after you got your advance. So it just kind of lays it all down.
Mm-hmm.
The next section is all about book specifics. And I always say to my student, I'm like, you're kind of pulling this out of your you-know-what, because we don't know what the book specifics are going to be, because that's really the publisher. I mean, they're asking for, like, is it going to be 9x11, hardcover, softcover? Will it be cover, you know, color, black and white, the pricing? And so I've never known why this is a section in the book proposal, because basically the author – is making it up. You know, I went back into my section for my book specifics, and what I told them was the book was going to be retailed for $19.99, and it was 9.5x12, and it was soft. It was like nothing. It was nothing to what it really wound up being. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of silly in my head, but I just tell everybody, all right, just make it up. Don't worry about it. Don't go crazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
The next section is the author background, and that's really just your bio, your credentials, if you've written articles a radio show, anything that you've done in the past, you would put in this author background. Any university, master's degree courses you've been trained in, or, you know, bachelor's degree, whatever. The next section is competition, and that's where you summarize 3 to 6 books that are similar to your book, but they are not exactly the same. Again, you know, I was looking at Wayne Dyer and Esther Hicks and, you know, all these people that have written about the law of attraction and manifestation. And, you know, you're supposed to say, well, where they fell short was blah, blah, blah. I mean, I certainly wasn't going to say where Wayne Dyer fell short.
Right.
You know, I stand on the foundation that this man has created. But what I do say is I have something different to offer, and here's what. You know, it's kind of that. Then is the target market. And again, this is a guessing game. I don't know who my target market is because I had never written a book before. The only thing I could look to was, who are my students? Okay, 70% women, 30% men. From the ages of 25 to 50 is like my median age. So I just wrote that would be the target market for my book.
Great.
And then you do a chapter outline, which is basically outlining every single one of your chapters with a little synopsis about which each chapter will be about. The next one is sample chapter. You have to actually write a chapter. So I included the chapter where I did the authentic frequency method, the actor's tools, because that was my original contribution. And then you just took some links and your promotional materials, and that's basically the sections of a book proposal. And again, you and I, you know, we're going to make it easy for people to have this accountability so that each week for 8 weeks, you're responsible of doing section by section, makes it easy, painless. And again, if anybody's interested in viewing my book proposal, please just email me at jg@jennifergrace.com. And if you're interested in an interview to be considered for our book proposal accountability group that's going to be starting in August, also email me at jg@jennifergrace.com. And that is it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure having you. And the book proposal, I mean, it's just what an opportunity as someone who wants to write a book and submit a book proposal to a publishing house. It's just it's amazing. You've really put it out there and just a beautiful gift. Thank you so much for being on today.
You're so welcome, and so are you, honey, and good luck with your show, and
Well, thank you. I'm so excited
that you've launched it today. It's great. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm going to close it out now. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I am just thrilled to be here. Like I said earlier, this has been a dream of mine for this year and probably earlier in my life, and it's a reality, and it's just incredible. It's incredible, and it is, you know, the quantum physics and the law of attraction and all of that stuff. It really works, and I look forward to talking about it on future shows. And I want to thank Courtney, my producer, for just really helping to prepare me for today. She's amazing and gave me some great tips, and for being on the line with me. And thank you to Jennifer Grace for being with us today. And thank you all for tuning in. This is Jamie Pfeffer signing off. I hope you have a wonderful day.